This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
والمعراج سورة الإسراء سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه هو السميع البصير. Glory be to the one who took his servant Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam by night. He took him by night from the sacred mosque, sacred masjid to the farthest one. That's the Masjid al-Haram in Mecca. To the farthest one, al-Masjid al-Aqsa in Jerusalem. Whose surroundings, the surrounding area of Jerusalem, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قال باركنا حوله, the surroundings we have blessed. You can imagine right now, the surrounding is blessed. What about the center itself? قال الله تبارك وتعالى, so that we may show him some of our signs. Indeed, he alone is subhanahu wa ta'ala, is all hearing, all seeing. Brothers and sisters, in month of Rajab, usually around this time, close to this time, many, many Muslims, they love to commemorate and celebrate one of those magnificent events in the history and the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, al-Isra wal-Mi'raj. The magnificent journey in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam undertook by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a miraculous way from al-Masjid al-Haram in Mecca into Jerusalem to lead salah for the prophets and the anbiya. And then from there he ascended to the seventh heaven by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to meet with his Lord for a special assignment to receive the 5 daily prayers, and then came back again sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in that same night. That is, in summary, al-Isra' wal-Mi'raj, the Isra' which means the night journey, and al-Mi'raj, the ascension to the heavens. Brothers and sisters, although in terms of the date is not necessarily authenticated in the seer of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but the event itself is absolutely authentic. And there are many lessons we learn from it, especially in time like ours, as we see what's happening to the same land, the Holy Land, in Palestine and in Gaza. The attachment that we have as Muslims with that land is unbreakable, because we believe it's unbreakable. The attachment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he put between Mecca and Al-Quds, Jerusalem, and even Jerusalem, the Holy Land, and heavens, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had all the Anbiya and Al-Jannah and Al-Nar, all these things, unbreakable. And as Muslims, I believe that. So when we talk about the value of that, that is not really about the piece of land. It's not about the earth itself, as much as the assignment, the divine assignment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the sacredness of that piece of land and that place. I want to show you a few things, why this is very important to the believers, why it's important to the Muslims. Number one, the first thing we think about is this now kind of attachment or this kind of assignment is very symbolic. That journey itself is very symbolic. Like, why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Mecca to Jerusalem and then go to the seventh heaven? He could have taken him from Mecca straight up there. Could have been done easily. But that stop on the way to meet the divine subhanahu wa ta'ala was on purpose. So that you and I, and for the generations to come, to always remember that sacredness of this land is by divine assignment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that land is very special and has very significant in our faith, as it is actually in other faiths as well too. We also know, number two, that this land, as a Muslim, I believe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the Holy Land as the gateway to heavens. The gateway to heavens. How so? You see, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was supposed to be going to the seventh heaven, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought him and delivered him first to Jerusalem, and from there he went to heavens. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned to us on the day of judgment, before the day of judgment, when Isa alayhi salam comes down, he will come in that land, in that area. And he will come from that region. And the Prophet ﷺ also mentioned to us that on the day, one of the signs of the day of judgment, when people are resurrected from their graves, they will all go to the Ardul Mahshar, the land of the congregation where they're going to gather. And that's there in the Holy Land. It is the gateway to heaven. That's why it's so significant in that regard. The third thing, my dear brothers and sisters, is that we believe it hosts the second holiest house of worship for the Muslims, as it is also for other people of faith. And Allah, the Prophet ﷺ was asked, Ya Rasulullah, أَيُّ بَيْتٍ وُضِعَ فِي الْأَرْضِ أَوَّلًا? Like, which house of worship was first established on earth? The Prophet ﷺ says, قال, الْمَسْجِدُ الْحَرَامُ, the sacred house of Allah in the Kaaba in Mecca. Then he was asked, قَالُ يَا رَسُولَهُ ثُمَّ أَيْ? Which one came second after that? قَالَ الْمَسْجِدُ الْأَقْصَى, Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. He was asked, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how far apart in terms of time? He says, قال أربعون سنة. 40, barely 40 years. So the dedication of that land to be holy by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came from the beginning of time for us as human beings. It's nothing new. It wasn't by a UN declaration on anybody that claimed it to be sacred because they said so. We believe it was designed and assigned way before the existence of any even people by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah azza wa jal is the creator. And He subhanahu wa ta'ala, by His grace and His will and His wisdom, He dedicates whichever He wants to be, sacred and otherwise. And if He said so, subhanahu wa ta'ala, then I believe that. Next, that land, my dear brothers and sisters, was also the land of many prophets and messengers of Allah Azza wa Jal. Many, many prophets were there. You will find almost every prophet that was mentioned in the Quran somehow has some connection with that sacred land. Look at the Anbiya from Musa alayhi salam, Dawood. You have Isa and Yahya and Ibrahim from before even. All these Anbiya, they had connection with the Holy Land. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed that land with all these righteous people. Again, to show significance to that land and what it's supposed to be representing. To represent people of faith and people of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, people of Tawheed, those who really care, high character. All of them, the Anbiya and the Mursaleen, that's supposed to be what it represents over there. Brothers and sisters, we know that land as well was where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was blessed, and also the land was blessed with his presence there, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to lead these Anbiya and these prophets in salah. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the assignment of the five daily prayers, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came down to earth again, he led these Anbiya and Mursaleen with two rak'ah. What's the significance of that? It's more like giving a closure statement. Like all these prophets who came from before, including the prophets of Bani Israel, all of them, now they're handing the baton to the Prophet Muhammad salawatullahi wasalamu alayhi, because he's now the last one. He's the last messenger. He's going to be put the seal on that on the line of prophethood and messengers, and his message will be the message for all. Very symbolic gesture that happened in that moment. Isa alayhi salam will also come down in that region. And he will be going there, protecting the whole world and humanity from Ya'juj and Ma'juj as well, too, from the Dajjal. And it will happen in that land. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose these events to happen in the future in that land. And we know, which is one of the interesting things, subhanAllah, is that on that journey when the Prophet salawatullahi wasalamu alayhi was ascended to the seventh heaven, one observation. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in the hadith as he was going from one heaven to the other one. We know there are seven layers of the heavens. From one heaven to the other one, he was meeting prophets and messengers. So he said sallallahu alaihi wasallam that on the first heaven, he met with Adam alayhi salam. He met with Adam alayhi salam. And the second one, alayhi salatu wasalam, he had Isa and Yahya. And the third one was Yusuf alayhi salam. And then Idris. And then Harun. And then Musa on the sixth one. On the seventh one, he had Ibrahim alayhi salam. Brothers and sisters, if you observe these prophets and anbiya, who were they? The majority were from the line of Bani Israel. That divine connection that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, it will end with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Bani Ismail. Ibrahim alayhi, Musa alayhi salam, as Muslims, we believe that we owe Musa alayhi salam so much. We owe him so much, jama'ah. How so? When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he met with his Lord in that journey, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assigned 50 salawat, 50 daily prayers, that you're supposed to be praying 50 daily prayers, and you heard it right, 50. And as Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, sami'na wa ata'na, we listen and we obey. On his way down, Musa alayhi salam stops him. He goes, tell me, what was the assignment? He goes, 50 salawat. And Musa alayhi salam says, no. You better go back and ask your Lord to make it easy for you. Because I tried Bani Israel. I tried these people before you. They're difficult to deal with, and they're not going to accept that. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, sure. He went back and asked, Ya Rabbi, as'aluka at-takhfif. My Lord, can you make it easy on us? And Allah brought it down to 45. And then as he was going down, Musa stops him. How was it now? He goes, Alhamdulillah, they're 45 now. He goes, no, that's not enough. You better go back and ask Allah to make it easier. Because I've tried the people before you, Bani Israel, they're difficult. They're not going to accept that. So you better go back again. Jama'ah, they have history with Musa alayhi salam. They gave him hard time, subhanAllah, from that time. And they don't listen. That's the thing. No matter how much power you bring to them and how much privilege you give them, it's just different. So here's Musa alayhi salam telling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just go back and ask for, make it easy. And he kept going back and forth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them five. And as the Prophet was going down, he asked Musa alayhi salam. Musa said to him, that's still too much. Go and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it less. I'm sure that you guys are already smiling right now and says, yeah, I wish they were maybe less. But here's the thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they're five in number, 50 in reward. And that was the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What a rahmah and mercy between the prophets and the anbiya. That is the spirit of people of faith. That is the spirit of the people of faith. They're looking after each other. They're assisting each other. My dear brothers and sisters, the history of Muslims in the Holy Land is very well known. Yes, probably I know that there might be some pockets maybe of black history here and there and dark history actually for us to say that wasn't actually the most pleasant thing for us. But still, subhanAllah, the majority of what happens there was a blessing. The coexistence of the believers from the very beginning once they received the keys to Jerusalem with Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala wa ta'ala. They were able to live there for generations. There was never an issue of different faiths being there. Even when the crusaders came and they destroyed everything, subhanAllah, and as Salah ad-Din came back, he didn't seek revenge from them. He still gave them the option. You stay here, you follow our rules, and you're more than welcome to stay and worship as you will. You want to create troubles? Get out of this place. And they, for generations to continue, and subhanAllah, until the recent time, before colonialism destroyed everything, the Muslims, the Christians, the Jewish people were living in Palestine and the Holy Land next to each other, and they spoke the same language. They even had the same culture, you could say. But unfortunately, some other people, they would come and destroy everything in the name of the subject of faith, but it's not. People of faith are different. And that wasn't the message that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given Musa alayhi salam, nor Isa alayhi salam, nor Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But for us as Muslims, we still believe we have responsibility over that holy land and restore peace in the way that Allah subhanahu will be pleased with. What other people claim it to be is not. And that is our duty, our response. That's the attachment we have to this land because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it sacred and it needs to be restored to be sacred again. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا ثم ما بعد. My dear brothers and sisters, one thing we learned from that journey that the Prophet he undertook, and Allah subhanahu brought him all the way up to the seventh heaven to receive the obligation of salah. You see, the Prophet he received the obligation of fasting and zakah and hajj when he was on earth. But for the five daily prayers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala summoned his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam all the way to the seventh heaven and brought him so close that even Jibreel alayhi salam, when he asked the Prophet to proceed, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was anxious because he's never been in that place before. And he asked Jibreel, come with me. And Jibreel says, I can't. I reached my limit. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a position that is higher than that. And then he gave him the assignment of salah. And he said, there are five in number. And there are 50 in reward. Brothers and sisters, this is the value of your five daily prayers. This is the value of the five daily prayers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he made you people of faith. And subhanAllah, it's because of that, as a Muslim ummah, as a Muslim, or because of the five daily prayers, no matter what we go through, no matter what circumstances happen to the ummah, they find their way to restore their faith and build their community again and again and again. If we stop making our daily prayers, our five daily prayers, we become like everybody else. And that strength that made this ummah strong will disappear. Brothers and sisters, make sure to maintain those five daily prayers. it keeps you strong and keeps you connected to your brothers and sisters around the world as well. And hopefully, one of us here in this place, from a sincere heart, make dua that Allah subhanahu will listen to, and Allah will answer their call for the help of our brothers and sisters in Palestine and Gaza. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for them, ya Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma allamna ma yanfa'na, wa anfa'na bima allamtana, innaka antal alimul hakeem. Allahumma ati nufusana taqwaha, wa zakkiha, anta khayru man zakkaha, anta waliyuha mawlaha. Ibad Allah, inna Allah malaikati salluna ala nabi, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. اللهم صلِّ وسلِّم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وارض اللهم عن خلفاء الراشدين أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي وعن سائر الصحابة أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان يوم الدين وأقم الصلاة.